Hey hoes, and welcome back to another episode of Morning Cup of Hope podcast. I'm Imani, your host and main ho, here to help you on this journey of finding your purpose, getting your shit together, and living the life you want. Pour up your morning cup of whatever you're sipping on, get ready to unleash your inner ho, and let's get into this episode. All right, hoes, we're starting off today with Shavi, and I just want to tell y'all a little bit about her. She is a lifestyle content creator, and she posts on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And I found her on TikTok and her content is amazing. Like, that's actually why I wanted to get her on the podcast. And just a little bit about her. So she's originally from Houston, but she currently lives in San Diego. And I'm really excited to have her on the podcast today because, like I said, her content was amazing, really clean. Like, I'm just waiting for her to blow up. So I just want to say welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you so much. That was such a sweet intro. I appreciate it. And I'm really happy to be here too.
Of course. So before we get started, because I know we have a lot to talk about, like this topic is going to be really good today. I just want to kind of start off with like a quick icebreaker just to, you know, get to know each other, break the ice a little bit. So I wanted to do an icebreaker that I actually saw on TikTok, something good in your life, something fun about you, and then like something good about your relationship.
Okay, sure. So something fun about me, I think my hobbies are always what like pique people's interest. One of my favorite things to do in my free time is roller skate. And here in San Diego, there is a big roller skating community. And I'm talking like outdoor skating. So it's really like idealistic, like dreamy to skate like by the beach. So I enjoy doing that. And also I'm into botany, like gardening, plants and stuff like that. And then something good that's going on in my life right now, well, I'm in a huge life transition. So I'm changing careers and also pursuing my education, my master's degree. And I just got accepted into grad school at UCSD for my MBA. Right. So that's thank you. And something good about my relationship. I don't know. I guess I always feel really lucky for my to have my husband because he's literally like my best friend. So, I mean, we're always having good times. We really just thoroughly enjoy one another's company. So I just feel really lucky to have him and to have a man that I can genuinely call like my life partner and my best friend.
That's amazing. And I just want to say, like, I didn't even know this stuff about you, that you are roller skating and yeah, like in the garden and all that stuff. Yeah. And like, so are you one of those like really good roller skaters, like the ones you be seeing on TikTok, like doing all the dances and all that good stuff?
I would say that I'm I'm not a pro, but I feel okay, pretty comfortable doing it. I know few tricks. It's definitely one of those things that you have to invest time in to get good. You have to really be dedicated and committed to it, especially when you're doing it outdoors. But I think I'm pretty decent. But I know what you're talking about. You see the girlies online, they do all the tricks and they can like jam skate, and I'm working on it. I'm trying to get there.
You're going to have to show us your journey on TikTok. Like, post a few. I feel like that is like one of those things that I'm not a roller skater, but every time I see those videos, I'm like, I'm going to just watch it because it's so interesting to me.
It is interesting. But when the summer comes around, that's like the perfect season. So I'll get back out there then for sure.
Okay. And then you said you also like doing gardening and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I aspire to one day have a home with like a big backyard so I can have a real garden. But in the meantime, I have right now, I would say about 12 houseplants. But at one time, I got up to like 40. It was an obsession.
Oh, so you were serious.
Yes, I was a real plant mom. But I still love them and I take good care of them. Now I'm more into like, I like larger plants that are more like trees. If anyone's into botany, everyone knows like the fiddle leaf fig or the monsteras get really big as well. But I love the big plants now.
Okay. Look, I'm going to have to learn something from you because I've been saying that I want to be a plant mom and I got one plant. Well, I don't even have it anymore, but I got one plant at one point and I was feeling real good. Like I was keeping her alive. And then I don't know what happened. Like, I feel like she just slowly dwindled away. And I was like, okay, maybe this is not for me. And I don't know. I feel like I can't keep a plant alive no matter what I do.
You can develop your green thumb. I
Okay.
definitely had to do a lot of research and learn a lot about plants to keep them alive because they do not all require the same type of care. Some of them are really easy, some of them are really finicky and picky. So you really kind of just have to study it a little bit. But I think anyone can like develop that skill of taking care of plants and gardening.
Okay, well, look, I'm gonna have to find me an easy plant to start off with because I don't know. And the one I had was probably an easy plant, but I was trash. So I'm gonna start over and I'm gonna let you know how that goes.
And I can give you some tips.
Look, I'm gonna need it. We're gonna have to have a whole nother segment on plants because I need it. I'm lost when it comes to that. Okay. But yeah, I guess I should give my little icebreaker too. So I'll start off with something fun about me. I mean, this podcast is, I feel like, the most fun thing about me. So I'm definitely trying to get it back up and running. I don't even remember my own question. So that, something good in my relationship. I mean, I feel like I have a great man, like same like you. Like, I feel like my husband is literally like my best friend. Like I can go to him for anything. We're together all the time. I genuinely feel like I have a really good husband and I'm happy to say that. Cause I know a lot of people don't feel like that sometimes. Like they feel like they're going through all this drama and stuff like that. But literally, I feel very peaceful.
Yes,
when I'm with my husband. So that's always a blessing.
Yes, it is.
Yes. But I guess we can hop into the topic now. So y'all, when I reached out to her originally, like I saw her talking a lot about, you know, not really necessarily being ready to have kids and wanting to enjoy her relationship and things like that. And I feel like it seemed a little taboo based on like how a lot of people feel. So I just wanted to kind of get her perspective on that and see why she felt that way. And I'm sure there's other people that feel the same way as her. So I just wanted to have kind of both sides of that perspective. So I guess just kind of starting off with your relationship, you and your husband, how long have y'all been together?
So my husband and I have been married for almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years on the 17th of this month. So 2 weeks from now will be our 3-year anniversary. And we have been together for 4 years.
And how did y'all meet?
We actually met at work. We were working at a hospital together, but in completely different departments. So we weren't co-workers. We were just at the same hospital, and we met in passing, essentially. And it started off as a friendship, and then we became like gym buddies, and then he expressed like romantic interest, and it just went from there.
I think that's awesome, especially starting off as friends, because I feel like now a lot of people like to move so fast and hop right into relationships. So you kind of have that background of a friendship to build off of. So that's
Definitely.
Always a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And just going back to like you just saying like really your husband is your best friend and things like that. So I feel like it takes a lot of work to kind of build that like connection with somebody. So do you have any advice to like young women who may be trying to build a committed relationship and feel like they're struggling?
I would say one, when it comes to like dating and finding a partner, I think it's really important for you to have a few things established, like, you know, your standards, your boundaries, your non-negotiables, and your expectations. I think those things are like really vital to be foundational for you when you're on the dating scene, when you're in the dating market. And once you find that person, I think just being very forthcoming, straightforward about who you are and, you know, giving them the ability to prove themselves to you and show that they're genuine and their interest is real and that they have good intentions.
I think that's so true. And I know you were saying how, you know, you should be like forthcoming with everything. And do you feel like that may be hard, or was it hard for you to really open up to your husband when y'all first met? Because I know a lot of people may have up like barriers, or they don't really want to tell too much about themselves. So how do you feel like that process was for you?
I would say because my relationship with my husband started off as platonic, and there was no pressure of, you know, me trying to, I don't know, put on, you know, when you're dating, people want to show their best selves and they want to either, you know, they want to give the most sugar-coated version of themselves. And I think because we didn't start off dating, it was just really easy for us to get to know one another and to build like trust and respect in our friendship. So it was such an easy transition from friendship into dating because we had already developed a level of trust and understanding and respect for one another.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like y'all were able to just continuously build that before y'all moved into another step. And I think like that could be hard sometimes because I see so often, and I mean, I'm saying this like I'm so old, but especially with the younger generation, I feel like people are so quick to hop into a relationship. Like you meet somebody and the next day y'all are in a relationship, and we're not really taking time to get to know people, seeing if we genuinely like them, seeing like, you know, things about them, how they are with their family, how they are with their friends. And then we wonder why the relationship goes bad, but you never gave it time to actually learn about the other person. So I think it's important that y'all actually took that time to do that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think I will say, I think like our relationships development, I feel like I got, once again, I feel like I got lucky because if I were back on the dating market, I can imagine it would be a lot different because I never really kept a lot of guy friends, but it was just kind of perfect timing for us that I was in a space where I was open to him being a friend. And because we met at work, it was just very convenient because I would see him often in passing. So the development of our friendship, it was different. It was a different experience that I think I probably would not have had if it weren't for the circumstances at the time, if that makes sense.
No, I think that definitely makes sense. And do you feel like when y'all first met, like even though y'all started off as friends, do you think that either one of y'all may have been thinking that? Or, well, I know that you're saying that you mostly were thinking about it as a friendship, but do you think he ever had those type of motives from the beginning? Or was it like genuinely like we're just friends, like we're not even thinking about that?
So we've had conversations about, you know, the past and where we were like mentally, emotionally. And there was definitely like an initial attraction, like when we first seen each other for the very first time. But I was not interested at the time. And I think that he was genuine in his approach to like just get to know me. And he did say, like, you know, I was interested, but if you only friend zoned me, if you just kept me in the friend zone, I would have been satisfied with that too, because I just liked who you were as a person. So I think that over time, like his feelings started to grow and develop. And that's when he, you know, decided, okay, like I actually want to express a romantic interest. And I was open to it at that point. So I would say that was a, we were friends in for 6 months, just strictly platonic friends and getting to know one another. And then when he expressed that interest, we still like kind of took it a little slow.
Okay. And I think that's first of all amazing what he said, like even if you didn't want to move forward with like a relationship, he just wanted to be in your life because he liked you, like genuinely you. And that's so important. And I feel like sometimes
It
people don't have that. Like you see people like on social media and things like, you know, if they can't have you the way they want to have you, they don't want nothing to do with you at all. And I just think that really shows it's not genuine. It's not genuine when things like that happen. So
is
sounds like an
very
amazing
true.
man.
I think so, girl. Thank you.
Yes, you got a good one. And that's a blessing. That is 100% a blessing because it's not always the case.
You are so right about that.
But I also want to kind of go into like your relationship, like your dynamics of it, like kind of leading into the kids thing, because I feel like that's a big conversation, but kind of just want to understand the relationship anyway. But how do y'all navigate and balance like your individual goals and aspirations, you know, with the relationship? Because I know a lot of times people get caught up so much in the relationship that they don't have that individuality anymore.
That's a really good question. I think because we're both very ambitious people, We're consistently working towards something. Like, we have our individual goals, and because we're also best friends, like, we're each other's number one supporter. So there's never like any competition. We're always having conversations about our thoughts, where our hearts are, like what we want, what we desire, what our goals are. And I think for us, it's just that constant conversation and just keeping one another like motivated and accountability to move towards whatever our goals are. For me personally, I think I really value like my autonomy. And I just like to have things going on for myself. I like to have my own life. Even though I'm married, like my own goals, having my own things, my own money, like having things of my own and things that keep me grounded as an individual is very important. So I will say, like in my marriage and in this relationship, I never felt consumed by it, but I know what that experience is like because I felt that in previous relationships. But I think it was just because I wasn't as much focused on what I wanted, what was important to me, you know, what my own personal goals were. And I think my marriage, like, it creates a level of stability that just allows me to be comfortable and confident in who I am and what I got going on. So it just works out for the both of us because we're just ambitious people and we'll always have our own thing going on and then we be rooting for each other in the back.
No, and I think I just want to point out one thing that you said, just the accountability. And I think that is so important, like to hold your partner accountable, especially with reaching their goals. Because just kind of speaking from my experience, I feel like when I was, well, like throughout my relationship with my husband, I feel like I was kind of that person that was just more so consumed with the relationship. Like I wasn't really thinking about necessarily my goals and things like that. And I don't think it was anything whereas like he was holding me back or anything like that. I just genuinely, I don't know. It was just like I had on like these blinders and I was just going for it. And I didn't have anything that I was really trying to accomplish myself or do on my own outside of him. And then it was like one day I'm like, okay, like what am I doing? Like me and my husband have been together. This year will be 11 years. And I feel like just within the past few years, I'm like, okay, what am I doing for myself? Like I'm literally just in this relationship, chilling, like not doing anything. And one thing that I can say is once I started kind of voicing my goals, like doing the podcast and like other things that I wanted to do, like he was very supportive and holding me accountable. Like, okay, well, you said you wanted to do this. Like, all right, you recording this episode, you reaching out to people, you doing this. Like he every step of the way made sure that I was accomplishing my goals and pushing me, even though like when you're slacking off and you don't want to do stuff, like it can feel like it's coming off harsh when they're doing that, but they're literally just trying to push you towards your goal and making sure that you're holding yourself accountable and being successful because it can be hard. And I think I just had to realize that I am a person outside of this, even though I never really thought about that, but just really having to set goals for myself and set things that I'm going to do and ho having my own identity outside of it, I feel like was hard. So,
That he sounds like a good partner, and I will say, when you have a partner that is genuinely in concerned with you being the best version of yourself, they're gonna push you. They're gonna encourage you. They're gonna ask those questions.
Yeah, and it's so important for us to be able to be there for our partners because I do the same thing with my husband, and I feel like it's such an interesting thing because I feel like when it comes to him setting his goals and doing this, like I'm there, like I'm like, all right, you got to do this, like we gonna get there. But then when it's to my goals, that's when I really struggle. But it's like at the end of the day, whatever he's trying to do, I'm gonna help you get there, like. And I feel like he has very clear goals and expectations for himself, and then there's me, and I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm trying to do. But it's like, I feel like both sides of it, we're both supporting each other and both really pushing ourselves to make sure we both succeed. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to be with someone, when they succeed, you succeed too. So
Absolutely.
that's, it's so important. It's so important. All right. So in the relationship, so y'all building this big bond and everything. And I feel like most people feel like the next step, like after you like been with somebody, you get married, like the next step after marriage is kids. When did this conversation come up that y'all didn't want to have kids right now? Like, do one of you bring it up first, or was it like something that y'all both was already talking about? Like, how did that come up?
I think, from the very beginning, we always knew that we wanted to wait. There was no rush. There was not even a timeline. We never like said, oh, we'll start trying for kids in like a year or two. We just knew that now was not the time. I mean, and we just always keep an open line of communication. So, we talk often about whatever is on our mind. So it's kind of like, as we consistently bring it up, the date, the non-existent date of having kids just keeps getting pushed further and further back. But we've always been on the same page about not wanting to try for kids anytime soon.
Right. That makes
Yeah.
sense. And I just want to say, like, for other like people that are listening, like, because especially you saying that y'all were always on the same page, I just want to point out that it's okay when you and your partner aren't always on the same page, especially when y'all can discuss it. Because I know in my relationship, like me and my husband, if I would have let us have kids 10 years ago, like he's been ready for kids. And I'm more so the one that's just like, I feel like we gotta wait, like let's get our lives together, let's travel, like let's do all these things prior to having kids. So I feel like that's always been a discussion that we've had, like going back and forth. It was never like necessarily an argument, especially because we're still young, but I feel like it was definitely a conversation that needed to be had to the point where we got to, it's like, okay, now we have an idea of when we want to have kids. We have that expectation set out, but it definitely wasn't something that we always agreed on because I just feel like I need some time to do all those things, to travel, to, get my finances together, like just explore life before I bring somebody into the world that I have to take care of for the rest of their life. Like not just till they're 18, I gotta be there for them indefinitely. And that's a big responsibility.
It is such
It's
a
a big
huge
responsibility.
responsibility. Yes, you're right about that.
And I was creeping on your TikTok, obviously, because I told you I like your content. So I was creeping on your TikTok and I saw like one of your TikToks where you were saying that when you were younger, you had always dreamed about being a mom, and that was something that was really important to you. So I guess at what point did that change when you were like, I would rather put it off than to like pursue that right now?
So, ooh, a lot of caveats to that question. I will say for me, growing up, I had a vision of being a mom. I think a lot of us as little girls, we see our moms and, we see ourselves in our moms and we envision that eventually you will be a mom, you'll have children. But one thing that I was able to realize in my like early adulthood, like not soon after leaving my mom's home, I realized that there are a lot of generational cycles amongst the women in my family. And that included like being a single mom or not having being married or not having a partner present or just having kids really, really young. And I was able to like identify those things and I realized that I just didn't want that to be my story. So, from a young, in my young adulthood, in my young womanhood, I realized that I wanted to have a partner that was going to be present. And I wanted to be married to that partner. I wanted that security of marriage. That was ideal to me. So that was a huge reason why, I had waited throughout my 20s and I got married at 28. But like I said, we still weren't ready. And, I've gotten to a point now where it's like, okay, well, you have the foundational requirements that you desired to start having kids, but even now I'm still not ready. I still feel like
Right, girl.
I'm young. Like I still feel like it's too soon. I see this trend online with like, adult grown women are having kids and they're like, I can't believe I'm a teenage mother. And
Okay,
that's
right, because
exactly
that's
how
how I
I
would
feel.
feel.
Right? I at 31 years old, I still feel like a teenage girl. What do you mean? When am I gonna have kids? I am not
Okay,
ready.
girl.
But some of the
No, me
like very
either.
practical reasons why are just because I have a lot of personal goals. And like you mentioned, like finances are very important. Mm-hmm. And when I was a little girl, I was taken care of pretty well. Like my mom provided for me everything that I needed and things that I wanted. But I can just still reflect and see that there are so many opportunities that I wish I had. And I want to be able to invest in my children. I want to give them the best possible outcome, the best shots at mm-hmm. life. I just really want to set them up for success. And so I have that vision. And I think about these things so deeply. And my husband and I, we have these conversations. And he feels the same way. We both see, you know, that even as little kids, we had a lot of talents, but there just weren't the resources. The resources weren't there. Our parents mm-hmm. couldn't invest in us in the way that we felt like would have been the most beneficial. And so I just have a vision in which I can like give my kids not just the basic necessities, but I want to provide them with the best opportunities. And that requires money. And, you know, okay, we're still working towards, right? Like we need to get our finances in alignment in a very comfortable way. And I think like if we had a kid today, yes, we'd be able to take care of the baby. I think we're doing well, but I want to be doing better, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's exactly how I feel too. Like, and I feel like people see like externally, like, okay, you have everything together. Like you're married, like you have a good job, like you can afford your life. So like what's stopping you? But in my mind, it's so much more to that because like you were saying, like your childhood, like for me, I feel like I had a really good childhood. Like my parents were able to do all the things that I wanted to do, take me places, let me experience things. And I just feel like until I feel like I'm in a position where I could do all those things for my child, mm-hmm. I don't want to have a child because why am I bringing a child into this world that is not going to experience I want them to have a better childhood than me, but exactly. At minimum have a childhood like mine. And I just don't want to bring someone into the world until I can do that. And then as well, like you said, like I would literally feel like I was having a teenage pregnancy. I don't feel like I am an adult. Like you expect me to take care of this child and be able to guide them through life. And I know like when I've been talking to a lot of people who are mothers, they say that you never genuinely feel ready, but I feel like I need some type of sign or something that's like, okay, you're ready, because I genuinely just don't feel like I can guide a child through life at this point. But I mean, like you said, like if I had a child now, I could afford a child, like I could pay for it, but it's just like, to what extent am I just providing enough for them to survive, or am I providing enough for them actually to flourish and learn yes. and, you know, enjoy their childhood and have an amazing time that when they're 30, they're going to look back like, oh my gosh, my parents, you know, they were amazing. Like I genuinely had an amazing childhood. That's what I want to be able to form. Like when I decide, okay, I'm going to pop out a child. So I think it's so important. And that's what I'm trying to do now, like really do things to set that up, like, you know, mm-hmm. making sure I'm saving money and like putting things to the side and like, you know, preparing myself so that when that time comes, which is going to be soon, you know, but when it comes, I feel like, okay, I'm in a good spot and I'm setting this child up for success rather than bringing them into a world where I was never ready to give them what they needed in the first place.
Yes. So the question of like, you know, when will I be ready? I've definitely thought about that. And for mm-hmm. me personally, I just want to get to a point where I am ready to accept the responsibility, because yeah. I don't think any first-time parent is ever fully prepared or fully ready to have another human being that they're 100% right. responsible for. But you can get to a point where you are just, I'm ready to accept this responsibility and whatever else comes with it. And I'm not there yet.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to get there. And I feel like I'm in a really, really weird space in my life, because on one hand, I feel like I see babies and I'm having baby fever, like, oh my gosh, I want a baby. But then it hits my head like, all right, once this baby come, you got to provide for them. You have to, you know, guide them. And I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of times when I'm looking at my life, I'm like, I'm still calling my mama for everything. Like, I'm like, well, how I do this? So I'm like, that child gonna be looking at me asking, asking me those same questions, and it's just like, girl, like, call your grandma, because I don't know. And I feel like, at what point am I not going to feel like that? What point am I going to be like, all right, I have it together enough to bring a child? I don't know. I feel like it's just one of those things you just really have to have the child and do it, because I feel like you said, there's never a time when you're going to be 100% prepared to bring another human into the world. It's just not.
Yes, but I think you can set yourself up for it, you know, and community, like having people there that are supportive, that can pitch in and help you is very important. So even if you finally come to the place where you're like, okay, I think I'm ready to have this baby, but you still got to call your mama and ask for her help, or ask for her to come over, or ask for, you know, a few hours so that you and your husband can have a date night. That's okay too, because I think having that community is very important, and we really just, no one has all the answers. So reaching out, I think, is a part of the motherhood experience as well.
Yeah, 100%. And my mom, she lives like 8.5 hours away, but I already told her, I said, girl, when I pop out this baby, you gotta pull up.
You
I
got to
need
get
you
on
here
the
for at least a
plane.
month, okay? Cause pull up, cause I'm gonna be stressed. But it's just like, I know at some point I just have to do it. Like, I feel like in my mind I'm ready for a baby, but I'm an overthinker, so I'm just thinking about all the things that could go wrong. So I'm like, maybe I'll push it off, but I think it's gonna happen. But
It'll happen when the time is right.
exactly, it will. But do you feel like once, I guess, well, I guess backtrack actually, because I was going to ask, do you feel like you're getting pressure from people? But have you even discussed this with like your family, your friends, that you don't intend to have kids right now, like you want to put it off?
I do discuss it, and I don't get a lot of pressure, I will say, but I have gotten like my mom and my stepdad like making little hints, but I just shut it all down because I'd be like, I'm not having kids. Period. And I'll just, did they just like, okay. However, I have like nephews, like my sister and my younger sister, and we're just 2 years apart. Like she has three sons, and then my brother, who there's like an 8 year age gap between us, he has a son. So there are kids. Okay, so right now I'm just a rich auntie, and I think everybody's satisfied with that for now because there are kids. And I will also say, like, I know that my mom, she just sees me living my best life. And she had kids really young. So in a lot of ways, I think she vicariously lives through me because, you know, I get to have an experience that she didn't. So she doesn't put any pressure on me because obviously she knows what it's like to have children. And then, you know, she's a grandmother now, and she often will have like my nephew. So no, I don't really get any pressure, thankfully, from my
That's
family.
good.
And I do have the conversation with my friends, and I will say my friends are a mixed crowd. Some of them are married, and you know, they might have one child. One of my best friends has one child, and she's married. And then I have a friend who's married with no children, and then I have single friends. So it's a very mixed group of friends. So I don't feel that pressure, like some women may. That, you know, when they have friends that are in their age group and they're married and they have children, and it's like, dang, I'm the only one that doesn't have any kids. Because my friends are so mixed, it doesn't feel like as much of a burden, and there's no pressure at all, I would say.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to that, because I feel like my friends are kind of mixed. I feel like, actually, I don't think none of, are any of my friends married? Like, do I have married friends? I don't think any of my friends are married, but I have some friends are in like relationships, and then I have one friend that has like two kids, but she's like the only one that has kids. But even talking to her, she's just like, yeah, girl, I got two kids, but sometimes I still don't feel like I'm, you know, an adult. I still don't feel like I'm prepared for this, even though she has two kids. So it kind of just shows me like, you're never ready. But the one thing that she always points out is like, even though she sometimes doesn't feel like an adult or feel like she was prepared for these kids, like, She handles it. She was like, even though you don't feel prepared when it happens, you got to step up. You got to take care of these kids. You got to give them a good life. So that's one thing that she always talks about. It doesn't matter how you feel. You're going to do it. Like, it's going to come naturally to you. You're going to want to protect these kids and provide for them. And then my other friends are just like me, not ready for kids. And even thinking about kids just sounds crazy. But it's like, y'all, we knocking on 30. It's getting to the point where people usually have kids, even though we feel like, I feel like I could wait another 10 years to have kids. But I'm like, I know that's a little old, but it's hard. I feel like a lot of people aren't as stressed about having kids, even though I feel like the older generation, they're like, what y'all doing? Like, I feel like by 30, they didn't have five kids. They've been married for 20 years, have five kids, and it was very different. And I'm like, we doing it different. Our generation is doing it different in just so many aspects, like kids, our careers, the things that we accept. It's very different.
We are different. Like, the culture has completely shifted when it comes to the norms or expectations or traditionalism. Like, we are making our own rules. Like, we're living our own lives. And I love that for us.
I do
but
too.
Yeah. Yes, I love being a millennial for sure, because it's like, this is my life. I'm not accepting any pressure from, you know, older generations. No, this is my life.
Yeah, because the older generation will definitely put all that pressure on you. But I feel like a lot of them now, well, I won't even say a lot of them, some of them now are definitely more accepting, because they know that no matter what they say, our generation, we're going to do whatever we want to do. So at this point, you just got to accept it. Like, let us live, let us do whatever we want to do, and just let us go. Like, that's all you can do at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I guess so. Obviously, right now you're waiting to have kids, but I guess once y'all decide to have kids, do you feel like anything is going to change in your relationship or just in your life? Or how do you picture that?
I would say, I know that having a child definitely causes a little bit of a shift in your relationship, because naturally, both partners are going to have to give more time to this child, you know, this new person. It's a whole new responsibility. It's a new burden on a marriage. So I would imagine that it will cause a level of stress naturally.
100%.
But I think that my husband will be like a really good dad. He has a like younger brother, a 14-year-old brother, and I see how like he's just there for him, how he shows up for him, and even how he shows up for my nephews. Like, they could get anything out of him. Between my nephews and my brother-in-law, they can get anything out of him. So I imagine that he would be the same with our children. And we have a lot of conversations about like our values and just our character. So I feel like he would instill a lot of good things into our children. So I know he would be a really present father. But it would, of course, you know, it would take a little bit of time away from me. So naturally, it would shift the dynamic a little bit. But I trust him enough. I've seen enough from him to know that we would be good. We would work through it, and we would be good.
That's good. And I feel like it's always a good thing when you can genuinely feel like your husband is going to be a good dad and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about, is he going to be there for the kid? Is he going to be able to take care of it? Like, you already know. And I feel the same way about my husband. Like I said, he been wanting to have kids, and he's good with kids. He loves kids. And then there's me. Kids make me nervous. Well, I feel like I'm better with kids now, but generally, like, I used to be really scared around kids. Like, I just felt like I was going, I don't know, let them die somehow, but it's terrible. But for him, like, he genuinely likes kids. Like, he likes to be around them. Like, he's the guy, like, whenever we go to my family functions and there's the kids around, they looking for him. They looking for Cool Craig. That's what they call him. And they running behind him, playing with him. So I'm like, okay, I know he's going to be a good dad. He's going to have a good time. But I think it's genuinely me that I'm like, am I going to be a good mom? Am I going to be able to handle this? And I know Relationships can change a lot when you have kids. Like, it's just a completely different dynamic. Like you said, like time away from you, time away from just spending time with your partner, having that time to just relax and talk and do all those things. Like, it can work, but it's definitely going to be more work that you put in. And I feel like it's okay to be selfish and say that I want to put that off and just have more time with my partner for now.
Exactly. And that's one of the also major reasons why we have waited, because we just need to invest in us. And even over the past like 3 years, we've still grown and learned so much about one another. And I feel like, on the topic of having children, my confidence in him as a father is growing consistently. Like the level of confidence that I have in him showing up like as a great dad is so much higher than it was when we were married, in the very beginning. So I say all that to say, like, we're still learning so much about each other. We're still growing a lot. And I knew that I wanted to be a really solid version of myself, and I want him to be a solid version of himself before we take that next step.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you're always learning about your partner. Like I said, me and my husband this year will be 11 years, and it doesn't stop. Like, I feel like you're continuously learning more about the person. And obviously, like, the base of the person, and their character and stuff like that. But I feel like you're always learning, and in each different season, y'all are changing and having to learn new things about each other and having to learn to get along with that new version of each other. And that changes, like, depending on the season that you're in, depending on the, circumstances. And bringing a kid into someone's life, that can definitely change it as well. So it's just something that I feel like you have to be in a really strong place in your relationship before you can even think about that. Or it may not work out, unfortunately.
I definitely agree. And it's kind of scary to even, imagine, for me at least personally, like us having, if we would have had a child, like that first year, because I just felt like there was so much growth that needed to happen, for us individually and as a couple as well. And we're just, like you said, you're constantly evolving. You're becoming a new version of you. Like the woman that I am today is not the woman that I was when we were married that first year. And I feel like now I'm more equipped. And I know I will continue to grow. I know he will continue to grow and will become more equipped for, that next season of our lives.
And that's all you can do, just continue to grow. And I say the same thing, that I feel like I was a completely different person when we started dating. Like, I was 17. Like, I was a child. Like, I was literally a child. So I just feel like just going through life experiences, moving out of my parents' house, getting, adult jobs and doing adult things, like, I definitely changed throughout that time. So it really changed my viewpoint of a lot of things and made me a different person. And I feel like if I would have had a child back then, I mean, I know, like, he loves children, so I know he would have stayed and, did all the things, but I genuinely don't know if we would have stayed in a relationship. Even if he was there for the child, I just don't see that being something that we could have got through back then, because I was really immature. Like, I wasn't ready for it. I was gonna be out here just doing whatever. It would have been bad. But yeah, I know you have said that you and your husband had talked about y'all values and stuff, so he'll instill those kind of things into y'all child. So do y'all specifically speak about, like, how you plan on raising your child? Like, any specifics on that? Or is that something that you feel like once y'all are ready to have a kid, that's when those conversations are going to start?
We have had some conversations about things that we would want to do or how we would want to raise our children. We don't go super in depth, but it's like, if it's relevant or, we see something's trending online or something triggers us from our own childhood, we'll be like, oh yeah, we're not doing that. And one thing for me, when I do have children, I want to be very intentional about like talking to them. Like, I know that sounds so simple and basic, but I want to be so intentional about conversing with them and really trying to get to know who my kids are. Like at their core, what are their interests? How do they, you know, feel about certain things? What are their dreams? And I want them to feel like they know me too. And I think that comes from like my childhood. I just wish that I had more conversations with my parents. And, you know, I think also like in Black culture, there is kind of like this gap between the relationship of a parent and a child where it's like you're a child, stay in a child's place. You know,
exactly.
You don't have that space to really open up and, you know, develop that emotional intelligence and have real conversations with your parents, because it's just, you know, it just doesn't, it didn't happen for me at least. So for me, I'm always, you know, I've said to my husband several times and he agrees, like, I really want to cultivate a environment in my home with my children where they feel like they can come and talk to me about anything. Like they have that comfort where they can say, you know, mama's not gonna like judge me or be really harsh or critical or put me down or make me feel bad. Like she may provide me with some guidance, some words of wisdom. She'll correct me, but I know at the end of the day, like she has my back. She has my best intentions in mind, and you know, I can just go to her for anything. That's really important to me. I definitely want to create that safe space for my kids.
Yeah, I think I want to create that too. And I feel like I was genuinely lucky because I feel like I had that, or I currently have that still with my mom, where I feel like I can really go to her to talk to her about anything, tell her anything, and she's not gonna judge me or, you know, be mad or whatever. Like I can genuinely go to her. And I think it is just important. It's one of those things that you really had to build. It wasn't just one of those things where I automatically knew she wasn't going to judge me. I feel like it's something that you have to demonstrate. Like when I come to you about a situation, how do you react? What do you say when I say it? So I know that you said it sounded simple when you were saying being intentional, but it's so important to be intentional with it, because a lot of times, and I agree, especially in the Black community, that our parents or some parents don't allow children to speak up or voice their opinions or do whatever they need to do, because it's like, stay in a child's place. Don't say that. Like, you're talking back. Like, we don't want to hear your opinion. Like, all of these things can make a child feel like they're not comfortable and they can't come to the people who are supposed to be there really to protect them. Yeah. So I feel like I was blessed to have a parent, like parents, like both of my parents, just there and being willing to listen to me. But obviously, like, my parents aren't perfect. Like, there's things that they did, you know, bringing me up that I'm like, okay, I want to be very intentional not to do that to my child. Like, for my mom, like, something that she didn't even realize she did and I didn't realize she did until therapy, because y'all, therapy is it, y'all. Check it out. But yeah, going to therapy, like, just realizing how my mom spoke about her body, like, when she would look at herself and how she spoke about her body. And she never will look at me and say, oh, you're fat or you're ugly or whatever the case may be. But when she spoke about her body that way, I internalized it and started speaking about my body in that same manner. And although you don't think about how that affects you when you're a kid, you don't even realize it. Those are little things that can affect you that you don't even realize. The things that you're displaying in front of your child, that's going to be something they carry into their adulthood. And obviously now I'm an adult, so that's something I have to deal with on my own. But it's just like, if she realized that that was something that was going to affect me in my adulthood, that's something that she could have stopped back then versus, you know, continuing to do things like that.
Yes, that's so good. And that's true. So true. And it just makes me think about how much thought and intention I want to put towards, you know, making that decision. And I think going back to what we were talking about earlier today, just being like the best version of you. And obviously we're continuously a work in progress, but all those little things influence your children and you don't realize it, you know? And I'm sure your mom, like you said, she didn't realize it, and her intentions were not at all to negatively influence you or make you feel any type of way about how you look or your self-image or your self-perception. But even just those little things influence children, you know, as a parent. So that's such a good point, you know, it's something to consider.
Yeah, and people don't think about it. I feel like little things like that, I feel like that's the things that people don't think about. When people think about having a kid, it's usually like, okay, well, can I afford a kid? Do I know how to take care of a kid? And it's like very, I feel like when it's saying, do they know how to take care of a kid? It's very physical. You know, do I know how to change a diaper? Do I know how to do this? But it's not like, can I emotionally take care of a kid? Because, like, even when me and my husband are talking about it, I tell him, like, when I'm looking at TikToks and I see like gentle parenting, like, I feel like that'll be more aligned with how I feel about parenting my kid. Like, I'm not gonna yell at my kid. I'm not beating my kid. Like, I'm not doing all these things that are gonna set my kid up, you know, to not be successful in their life. And I feel like, especially in the Black community, especially not beating your kid and things like that, they're like, girl, you ain't. Then, like, you're gonna have some bad kids, you're gonna be doing all this. And I feel like that was even a conversation that me and my husband had to have, because he was pretty much like, oh, well, I was beat and I'm good, like, you know, it didn't bother me. And I'm just like, but you got to think about it. Like, and I was me and him was kind of going through like examples of a time that he may have been beat, and I'm like, well, think about what that even did. Like, you did something so stupid, like you failed a class or you did something and you got beat. What did that accomplish? Did you pass the class now because you got beat? Like, I feel like you can talk to kids like you can talk to adults. Walk them through, why did you fail this class? Do you need tutoring? Do you need me to sit here and watch you doing your homework? Like, what do we need to do to accomplish your goal versus me just beating you? And I feel like it's taboo, because I feel like a lot of times people don't look at children as humans. They just look at it as something that like needs to be controlled and like I'm guiding you. But I feel like if you give a child the opportunity to grow and be honest with you and voice their opinions, I feel like they will be more successful in that manner rather than just beating them and sending them on their way. Like, I'm not okay with that.
Girl, all facts. I absolutely agree with everything you just said. And I think that ties back into me just saying, like, I just want to talk to my kid. You know, I
Yes,
want
that's
them to feel
it.
comfortable talking to me and not always feeling like mama's gonna scold me because I messed up or I made a bad decision, because those conversations can go so far. You know, the example you provided, of your husband failing a class and getting a beating, that's what his parents decided to do. But what if they had sat him down and said, like, what's really going on? Why are you failing these classes? Are you distracted? Do you not understand? Do we need to get you a tutor? Do you like, are you having issues with focusing or your discipline? Like, you know, like real conversations. I feel like that would go further and be effective. I would definitely probably be a much more gentle parent than my parents were, for sure.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I just want to stop and like point out the fact that me saying I'm not going to beat my kids or that I think beating is wrong, I'm not judging anybody. Like, if you beat your kids, that's on you. They're not my kids. And I feel like at the end of the day, all parents are just doing the best that they can. So if you beat your kids and you feel like that's genuinely what you have to do in order to raise your kids, that's your business. And I'm not judging you. I'm just saying when I'm put in this situation, like, I'm not going to beat my kids. And I feel like people always say, well, you don't know how you're going to react until you're in that situation. But I just feel like when I've been in an argument with somebody, I've never thought, let me hit this person. So, like, I just don't see how that's gonna translate to me wanting to beat my kid. So, for me, in my situation, I don't think that's how I'm gonna raise my kids. So,
I'm with you.
yeah, I just feel like I gotta put that disclaimer, because somebody out here is gonna say, like, oh, you're judging me for, like, I'm not judging. I don't care what you do with your kid. I mean, don't abuse them too bad. I mean, don't hurt the kid. I care about that, but that's none of my business. Like, I'm just speaking as to like what I'm planning on doing with my kid. And then if it's 10 years down and I say I beat my kids, I'll let y'all know. I'll update y'all. But I don't plan on it. But going back to your relationship, how do you maintain open communication, like about your future plans? So that could be like about having kids or just about anything, like with your husband.
I would say that we've just really created a safe space in our marriage, that we just bring things up as they come to our minds or to our hearts, really. Like, We really don't have any like barriers to our communication. And I will say that I can accredit that to us doing couples therapy. So that's been one of the best, if not the absolute best investment I feel like we've made in our relationship is couples counseling that, and it's given us the tools to learn how to communicate effectively and in a way that's respectful and make sure it's like both of us feel validated and heard and understood. So, because we've done the couples counseling, we have the tools in our toolbox to talk to one another. We just have created this safe space. So there's never really like a time where it's like, oh, this is not the time, or, your approach was bad. Like, we've definitely grown and learned in that regard. Now, obviously, you read the room, as far as bringing up certain things. But, if it's just me and him and we're home and we're chilling, it's all the time. Babe, this is so random, but I was thinking about this earlier today and I actually wanted to have a conversation about it. That's us all the time. When it's just him and I. So we always have an open line of communication.
That's good. I think it's so important to have that open line of communication as, in a relationship, because if you don't have that, like you're going to be holding stuff in and getting stressed out about stuff that you haven't voiced when you can just go to your partner. And I know a lot of times it's like easier said than done, because I feel like with me, like my husband is very, he don't communication. He gonna tell me like it is. He don't care. He gonna say whatever. He gonna come like, oh, I've been thinking about this or whatever, whatever. Like he's very open about it. But I feel like when it comes to me, I'm bad at communicating. Like I'm the one, which I know people usually think it's the guys, but I feel like I'm the one. Like I overthink everything. Like I'm thinking of every scenario that could play out after I say this or I do this. But the thing is, like he never made me feel like, oh, you can't tell me or you shouldn't tell me. Like, and it never goes bad when I do, but I genuinely be overthinking, like, oh my gosh, like what's gonna happen after I do this? But I think the lines of communication are always open, and he's always willing to hear me when I do bring things to his attention. So that's always a good thing in a couple. But
Yes, it is.
wrapping it up a little bit, so is there any advice that you would give to other couples who may be considering like delaying parenthood?
Ooh. I think that for one, if one partner is not ready and the other is, then wait for sure. Because children are such a huge responsibility, and I don't think it's a season that you should step into with any like animosity or resentment about the decision. So I would say, for any couples that may not be on the same page about it, just give it some more time, so that you can both be present and genuine parents, parents with good intentions. And yeah, just take your time with the decision. That would be my biggest advice.
Yeah, I think it is very important to take your time with the decision. And I feel like at the end of the day, if you and your partner sit down and y'all realize that you're not on the same page and can't get on the same page, like, I mean, not saying that y'all need to break up, but sometimes you have to realize, like, especially if it's the beginning of the relationship and maybe you're a person that doesn't want kids at all and your partner wants kids, I think some things can't be compromised. You have to just genuinely sit down and make those hard decisions. Like, what are we gonna do? Like, am I gonna compromise and say I'm gonna have kids even though I don't want them? Which you probably shouldn't do that, but or are y'all just gonna decide to be kidless, or are y'all gonna move on and, maybe get to someone that has those same ideologies as you? So I think those hard decisions really have to be made when y'all are looking at that. So I think that's the most important thing, just having those open lines of communications and being honest as to what you want and being able to make the decision to do what's going to make both of y'all happy.
Ooh,
So,
yes.
yeah. So, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on this podcast today. Like, I feel like you dropped a lot of gems on this episode, and I feel like it was so entertaining for me. So I'm really hoping that everyone else got a lot out of this. But as we're wrapping it up, like, is there anything that you want to say or like leave with the listeners?
Well, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation. And I hope that everyone else also enjoys it. And that's all I have. Oh, if you're wanting to connect with me online, then I am Shavi Ali everywhere. It's Chavi Alli. So yeah, but thanks for having me again.
Of course. And I'll post like all your social media in the what's it called in the little description part. All the stuff that we've talked about in this episode, like her content is focused on that as well. But you'll also learn a lot more on her content, just about other topics about her and her life and her journey. So I feel like it's really important if y'all go listen to it, and y'all will not be angry that y'all listen to it. It's great.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, Hoes, for coming back to another episode of Morning Cup of Hope podcast. I hope y'all enjoyed today. Make sure y'all go ahead and subscribe to us, follow us on all social media platforms, and also leave a review because we love reviews. And also make sure to follow Shavi on all social media platforms. I will post her information down in the description. So I will see y'all, Hoes, again next week. Peace.